我爱昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2021年2月6号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨提亚·德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的盛典——博加梵歌的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
Welcome to our Saturday morning Bhagavad Gita class.
欢迎大家来参加我们每周六早上的博加梵歌的早课。
The Song of God.
关于的神之歌的这样一本课堂。
And we're just beginning the second chapter. Last week we read the first verse of the second chapter.
我们刚刚开始了第二章节的学习，就在上个周末的话，我们学习了第一诗节。
So we'll start today with verse 2.
所以今天我们一起来看着第二章的第二诗节。
But before that, we'll have a very short kirtan.
但在此之前的话，我们还是先来一次很简短的 kirtan 吧。
Okay.Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati DeviGauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adoita Gadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare HareHare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.ニタイゴーティムナンダハリハリボー Okay, so let us look at the Bhagavad Gita.
我们来一起看着博加梵歌。
And okay, chapter 2.The title of chapter 2 is Sankhya Yoga.
博加梵歌第二章的梵文标题是 Sankhya Yoga.
Prabhupada translated as the Bhagavad Gita summarized.
然后 Prabhupada 把这个 Sankhya Yoga 就翻译成博加梵歌内容概要。
Yeah, so if we look, you know, when historians study the Vedas, and the Vedic teachings,The oldest philosophy was called Sankhya.
Oh, Sankhya. 历史学家在研究韦达经和这个整部韦达经的当中，就发现最古老的哲学就被称为 Sankhya.
Yeah, so it means to observe and to learn by observing.
而 Sankhya 的意思就是指观察，并且通过观察而学习。
So really, actually, modern science is a kind of Sankhya.
实际上当代科学就是属于 Sankhya 的一类。
And in the, I think it's the fifth chapter, Krishna explains how Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are actually all the same because they all focus on discovering God.
实际上在《薄伽梵歌》第五章 ，Krishna 就解释到 ，Sankhya Yoga 和 Karma Yoga 以及 Bhakti Yoga 这三类的话呢，都是一样的，因为他们都是。都是关注于发现神的这一主题。
Yeah, so he says one who thinks that Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga are different than Bhakti Yoga, then that person is deluded.
他就说到，如果一个人认为 Sankhya Yoga、Karma Yoga 和 Bhakti Yoga 是不同的，那么这个人就是处于幻觉之中，就是这种很迷乱、很混乱的状态。
Because the end result of Sankhya Yoga and the end result of Karma Yoga and the end result of Bhakti Yoga is Bhakti, love for God.
因为 Sankhya Yoga 的最终成果和 Karma Yoga 的最终结果以及 Bhakti Yoga 的最终结果都是一模一样的，那就是发展出对神的爱 ，Bhakti。
So we'll find, you know, when we, as we read the verses in the second chapter, we'll see that Krishna is giving a very analytical explanation of what is the soul.
那么随着我们逐渐来阅读第二章的这些诗节，便会发现 Krishna 接下来就会给予一种非常分析性的解释，来说明究竟什么是灵魂。
So last week we read verse number 1.
在上个星期我们学习了第一诗节。
And the verse is spoken by Sanjaya, he's able to view the conversation between Arjuna and Krishna by remote viewing, a kind of astral projection, I guess.
而在上个星期这第一诗节当中，这个诗节是由桑加亚所说，然后他就通过他的这种千里眼，就是类似于这种视觉投射，然后就直接看到了 Krishna 和 Arjuna 之间的这个交谈。
And so Arjuna, he's told Krishna that he's not going to fight, and he's sitting down on the chariot and he's crying.
Arjuna 就对 Krishna 说到，他是不会去打这场仗的，然后他就已经坐在这个战车上，然后在哭泣着。
So Sanjaya is describing this to Dhritarashtra, this situation.
然后 Sanjaya 就把这一幕整个场景就描述给了 Dhritarashtra 王。
And now Krishna is about to speak something.
而现在接着 Krishna 就要开始说一些话了。
So that's where we are in the story.
而故事就进展到了这一刻。
So let's look at verse 2.
我们一起看着第二章的第二诗节。
And I'll chant the Sanskrit, then we'll do the word for word translation and purport.
我们就一起来看着梵文诗节字对字的翻译，译文及要旨。
We also have a number of questions left from last week, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'll keep that in mind. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Kutastvam Kasmalamidam. Vishame Samupastitam. Anarya Jastam Ashvagyam Akirti Karamarjuna Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
至尊人格神首说
The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, you. Yeah, that's what you did. Kuta.
从哪里
Tvam.
到你身上
Kashmalam.
不洁
Idam.
这悲伤
Vishame.
紧急关头
Samupasthitam
到来
Anarya
不了解生命价值的人
Justam
所作所为
Asvargyam
不会导向高等新秀
Akirti
恶名
Karam
什么什么的原因
Arjuna
Arjuna
Translation The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy.
译文，至尊人格神首说，我亲爱的 Arjuna, 你从哪里沾染上这些不洁？这些不洁与一个了解生命价值的人极不相称，他们不会将人导向高等新秀，却只会招来恶名。
Purport. Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical.
要指 Krishna 既是至尊人格神首。
Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita.
所以通篇薄伽梵歌都称主 Krishna 为 Bhagavan, 薄伽梵。
Bhagavan is the ultimate in the absolute truth.
薄伽梵是绝对真理的终极。
Absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman, or the impersonal, all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma, or the localized aspect of the Supreme,within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna.
绝对真理可通过三个阶段来认识，即一，梵 Brahman, 变存万有的非人格灵性；二，超灵 Paramatma, 至尊主居于每一生物心中的局部展示；三，薄伽梵 Bhagavan, 至尊人格神首圣主 Krishna。
I feel like we're sitting in, you know, the groves of Vrindavan reading outside.
我觉得我们就像是坐在这个 Vrindavan 的这个土地上，然后在一起阅读的薄伽梵歌。
The sounds of the birds is so lovely.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. 各位说，听着这个背景声的这些鸟叫，他很喜欢。
Krishna is just so amazing, huh? How he creates all of this.
Yeah. Guru 就说到 Krishna 是多么的令人惊叹啊，然后创造出了如此美妙的生灵。
Yeah, so he's Bhagavan.
所以他就是 Bhagavan, 薄伽梵。
In Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, this conception of the Absolute Truth is explained thus.
对绝对真理的概念，圣典薄伽瓦坛有这样的解释。
Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yas ganamadvayam Brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavaniti sabjate The absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the absolute truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the absolute truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
认识绝对真理者从三个方面去了解绝对真理，这三方面实为一体，分别称为梵、超灵和薄伽梵。
It's one of my favorite verses.
故事说这个十节 1.2.11 是他最喜欢的十节之一。
It's just the most perfect concept of the absolute truth I've ever encountered anywhere.
这是我在所有地方曾经所遇到过的关于绝对真理的最完美的概念，最完美的描述。
Yeah, all inclusive.
嗯，包含了所有一切。
Okay, continuing. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun surface, and the sun planet itself.
以太阳为例，可以说明这神性的三方面。太阳也有三个不同的方面，即太阳光、太阳表面及太阳本身。
One who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student.
只研究阳光的是初级学生。
One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced.
了解太阳表面的为中级水平。
And one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest.
唯有进入太阳星球的是最高境界。
Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature, may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth.
普通的学生只满足于了解太阳光全面的变透性及其非人格性的耀眼光芒。这些学生可比作仅了解绝对真理的泛Brahman 的知识的人。
The student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to the knowledge of Paramatma, feature of the Absolute Truth.
更进一步了解太阳球面的终极学生，可与认识绝对真理的超灵 Paramatma 特性的人相比。
And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet.Is compared to those who realize the personal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth.
而进入太阳球体之中的学生，可比作那些觉悟到至尊真理的人格特征巴格万的人。
Therefore, the Bhaktas, or the transcendentalists, who have realized Bhagavan, feature of the Absolute Truth, are the topmost transcendentalists, although.All students who are engaged in the study of the Absolute Truth are engaged in the same subject matter.
虽然所有探究绝对真理的学生所研究的体旨相同，但只有了解到绝对真理的薄伽梵一面的奉献者 Bhakta 才是顶尖的超然主义者。
The sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another.And yet, the students of the three different phases are not in the same category.
太阳光、太阳表面、太阳内部活动三者不可分割，可是处于这三个阶段的学生的层次却不尽相同。
The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva.
伟大的权威 Vyasadeva 之父Parasara Muni 阐释了梵语薄伽梵一词的意义。
The Supreme Personality who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation is called Bhagavan.
拥有一切财富、一切力量、一切声名、一切美丽、一切知识、一切气绝的至尊者，即称为薄伽梵。
There are many persons who are very, very rich, powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached. But no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc. entirely.
也有许多人很有力量、很美丽、很出名、很博学，而且很超脱，但谁也不能说自己拥有一切的财富、一切的力量等等。
Only Krishna can claim this because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
只有 Krishna 能这样说，因为 Krishna 是至尊人格神首。
No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayan, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna.
任何生物，包括 Brahma、梵天、Shiva 神在内，甚至 Narayana 都不能像 Krishna 一样拥有全部的富裕。
Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
因此，在梵天本集 Brahma Samhita 中 ，Brahma 均断言主 Krishna 是至尊人格神首。
No one is equal to or above him.
没有神能跟他，没有谁能跟他平等，更没有谁能超越他。
He is the primeval Lord.Or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes.
他是最原初的主，他是薄伽梵，是 Govinda, 他是至尊无上的万源之源。
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. There are many personalities possessing qualities.A Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him.
很多人拥有薄伽梵的品质，但 Krishna 是至高无上的，没有谁能超越他。
He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss.
他是至尊者，他的身体永恒、全知、极乐。
He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes.
他是原始的主 Govinda, 是万源之源。
Yeah, so this is the very first verse of Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, which was discovered by Lord Chaitanya in South India.
这个说到的梵文诗节是梵天本集 Brahma Samhita 当中第五章第一个诗节，而整部这个梵天本集是主 Chaitanya 在南印度发现的。
Yeah, so I guess there are other, chapters of Brahma Samhita, but he only found this one fifth chapter.
Oh, he only found this one fifth chapter in South India.
Yeah, in a temple in South India, yeah.
我纠正一下，古鲁说到的是这个梵天本集当中只有这第五章是主柴坦尼亚在南印度的一座庙里找到的。
Yeah, and I think there's about 55 or 60 verses.
55 or 60 verses.
Yeah, in this fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita.
故事说到在这个第五章的Brahma Samhita 当中大概就是有51或者是60个诗节。
Yeah, and so this is the very first verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Yeah.
所以这里就是整个这个第五章当中的第一个诗节。
And so Lord Chaitanya, he fell in love with this, the Brahma Samhita, and so did all of his followers.
所以主柴坦尼亚在发现这些诗节的时候，他就完全沉浸到了对这些诗节的爱之中，然后同样的，他的追随者也是如此。
And Bhaktisiddhanta comments that anyone who studies Brahma Samhita can understand all the facets of Vaishnava philosophy.
Bhaktisiddhanta 就曾经这样评论到。研习梵天本集的人便能够明白 Vaishnava 哲学的所有面所有方面。
OK, continuing on.
好，继续。
As you can see, this is a very, very important purport.
大家可以看到这是一个非常非常重要的要旨了。
Practically, if you just read this one purport, you would understand everything you need to know to go back home, back to Godhead.
从这个实际来说，如果你能理解这个要旨的话，你就已经可以回归家园，回归受神了。
In the Bhagavatam also, there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is described as the original personality from whom many, many incarnations and personalities of Godhead expand.
圣典薄伽瓦坛中罗列了至尊人格神首的众多化身，其中 Krishna 被认为是最原初的人格神首，许许多多的化身和人格神首都是由他扩展而来的。
Ete chasam kalapum sa Krishna stu Bhagavan svayam Endyai jatulam lokam Iriyanti yuge yuge. All the lists of incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansion or parts of the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. This is the from Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 28.
刚才那个梵文细节是圣典博加瓦塔第一篇第三章第二十八世节，这里所列出的神的化身，或为至尊人格神手的全权扩展，或为全权扩展的部分，但唯有 Krishna 才是至尊人格神手本人。
So, this verse is the thesis statement of the Bhagavatam.
Is a what statement?
Like the thesis? The thesis is
I see. Okay, thesis statement of the Bhagavatam. Guru 就说到这个师节呢，是整部圣典博加瓦坛的这个叫做整个主题的一个论述。
Yeah, so, the Bhagavatam's purpose is not only to establish God as one, there's only one God.
所以说博加瓦坛的目的之一不仅是要去树立只有一位神只有一位神的这样一个真理。
But the ultimate aspect of God is Krishna.
并且还要树立的是主的最终的这个方面就是 Krishna.
Not Vishnu.
而不是主 Vishnu.
Certainly not Lord Shiva or Brahma.
当然也就更不会是就主希瓦和 Brahma 了。
But the whole Bhagavatam's purpose is to prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
整部博加瓦坛的目的就在于要去证明 Krishna 才是至尊人格神手。
Now you can start to appreciate the importance of this purport.
那么大家现在可以开始去欣赏这个要旨的重要性了。
Okay, so continuing on with the purport.
好，继续来看着。
Therefore, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the source of both the Super Soul and Impersonal Brahma.
因此 ，Krishna 是原初的至尊人格神手，是绝对真理，是超灵和非人格凡的源头。
In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsman is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expressed his surprise with the word "Kuta." Where from?
在至尊人格神手面前，阿朱那为族人悲伤肯定是不合适的，所以 Krishna 用从哪里 "Kuta" 这一词表示了他的惊讶。
Okay, so now we're shifting gears here in the purport.
现在在要旨的这里的话，我们就可以看到这个要旨的内容开始换挡了。
Up till now, this is describing how the meaning of Bhagavan and how Krishna is the supreme Bhagavan.
到目前为止的话，这前面的要旨部分都是在阐释巴格万博加凡的含义是什么，以及在阐释。Krishna 他是怎样是这个薄伽梵的这个存在。
Now, in the second part of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how, although Krishna is God, he's speaking to Arjuna, like a friend and as a fellow Kshatriya.
而现在到了要旨的第二部分，帕帕就开始解释到，尽管 Krishna 是神是上帝，但是他在和Arjuna 在说话的这一会儿的时候是作为他的朋友，然后就像是他的一个同辈的 Chaitra 萨地利一样的在和 Arjuna 交流。
Yeah, so we have this word Kuta. Where from? You know, why are you acting like this, Arjuna? What's wrong with you? We're Kshatriyas.
因此的话 ，Krishna 用的这个词 Kuta 从哪里？ 他就表达出了这样一种就很惊讶嘛，就觉得阿朱娜你怎么会这么想呢？你怎么会这么这样说呢？你哪出问题了呀？我们都是刹帝利呢。
Okay, such impurities were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as Aryans.
这样不洁的想法是不应该出现在文明的雅利安人身上的。
The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization.
雅利安一词是指懂得人生的目的，拥有根基于灵性觉悟的文明人类。
Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the absolute truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan. They are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore, they do not know what liberation is.
受生命物质化概念误导的人不明白生命目的是要觉悟绝对真理 Vishnu 或薄伽梵，他们为物质世界的外在现象所迷惑，不知解脱为何物。
Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans.
对解脱物质束缚一无所知的人被称为非雅利安人。
Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duty by declining to fight.
Arjuna 虽身为萨帝利，却拒绝作战，试图逃避负定责任。
This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans.
只有非雅利安人才会有这种懦弱的行径。
Such deviation from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity to become famous in this world.
这种逃避责任的做法不会给人的灵修生活带来帮助，也不会使人闻名于世。
Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsmen.
主 Krishna 并不赞许 Arjuna 对族人的这种所谓的同情心。
End of the purport.
要此结束。
So this is one of those purports that devotees need to study over and over again and become very familiar with it. Because within this purport is the essence of our Vaishnava teachings.
那么今天所讲到的这个要旨呢，是我们作为奉献者应该一次又一次的去学习和研读的要旨之一，是我们应该非常熟悉的一个要旨，因为就在这个要旨之内包含了 Vaishnava 教导的核心本质。
So before I continue speaking, I just want to say one thing.
在我继续讲课之前，我想先说一点。
Om Agnata Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to our Guru Varga. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于 Guru Varga， 所有的荣耀都归于主 Chaitanya 和主 Krishna.
So, this...And Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, in his introduction, he says that you may or may not believe in God.
帕帕在薄伽梵歌的导言部分最开始就写到，你可能相信或者不相信有神的存在。
And you may or may not believe that Lord Krishna is God.
你可能相信或者不相信主 Krishna， Krishna 就是神。
But if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically, you should accept Krishna as God.
如果你想要去理解薄伽梵歌，那么至少在理论上你要去接受 Krishna 就是神的这样一个概念。
Or you should understand that God is speaking to Arjuna. Krishna, God Krishna is speaking to Arjuna.
或者你至少要能够去在理论上理解神，也就是 Krishna 是在和 Arjuna 交谈着的，在和他说话着的。
And so the very, you know, very second verse of the second chapter really establishes this principle that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and now he's speaking to Arjuna.
因此的话呢，第二章的这第二十节就建立起了这样一个根本的原则，那就是 Krishna 作为至尊人格神手是在这战场上和 Arjuna 在交谈着的。
And so the I would say the, you know, three quarters of this purport was establishing or talking about how it is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
How is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? 因此这个要旨的四分之三的部分都是在说明就是Krishna 怎样是他是怎样是至尊人格神手的。
Yeah, and it also explains the meaning of Bhagavan or the Supreme Person. Prabhupada translates the word Bhagavan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
并且的话呢，这要旨的四分之三的部分也是在解释 Bhagavan 薄伽梵这一词的含义。Prabhupada 就把这个薄伽梵 Bhagavan 这个词翻译成至尊人格神手。
So there it's very difficult to translate these Sanskrit concepts into English. There were no words to properly express these concepts before Prabhupada, you know, brought this teaching to the West.
实际上要把这些梵文词汇翻译成另一种语言，特别是翻译成英文的话呢，是很困难的。因为就在帕帕出现之前，在帕帕就是很恰当的用英语表达这些概念之前的话呢，在英文当中是没有这个对应的字眼来表达同一概念的。
Yeah, so Prabhupada made up this word, the Supreme Personality of God.
因此帕帕就自创了这个表达，至尊人格神手。
So the word Bhagavan is explained by Parasara Muni, who is the father of Vyasadeva.
所以薄伽梵 Bhagavan 这一词是由 Vyasadeva 的父亲 Parasara Muni 所阐释的。
Yeah, so he's God is described as the one who possesses everything more than anyone else.
神就被描述为是拥有了所有的一切，然后远超过所有其他生命所能拥有的一切这样一个人。
And so, call in the Bhagavad, when we're talking, when Lord Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, he's referred to as Bhagavan.
当主 Krishna 在薄伽梵歌中说话的时候，他就被称为 Bhagavan.
Yeah, the one original supreme God.
就唯一的原初的神。
Now, Brahma Samhita describes God differently.
然后接着在梵天本集 Brahma Samhita 当中对神的描述又有点不同。
God is the original cause.
神是最原初的原因。
The cause of all causes.
就被称为万源之源。
And Lord Brahma says that original cause of all causes,even before Vishnu, is Krishna.
然后主梵天就说到，作为万源之源的神，甚至是在 Vishnu 之前就已存在的神，被称为 Krishna.
Or another way to describe God is Swatantra.
Swatantra.
Yeah.
然后另一个描述神的字眼叫做 Svatantra.
It means the supreme independent one. That means, no, we're all dependent upon him, but he's not dependent upon us because he's the original cause.
这个 Svatantra 的意思就是指他是至尊的独立的个体，也就是说他并不依赖于任何其他的事物，而所有其他的一切都是依赖于他的，他是最原初的源头。
Yeah, so the, all, you know, the whole teaching of the Bhagavatam is ultimately meant to establish Krishna as the cause of all causes.
因此整部《薄伽瓦坛》的目的就在于要去树立 Krishna 作为至尊人格神首的地位。
So, but there are three aspects of the absolute truth, and they're all valid.
而关于绝对真理的话呢，包含有三个方面，而这所有三个方面都是有效的。
So, and so Prabhupada quotes from first canto of Bhagavatam, second chapter, verse 11.
所以在这里我们就可以看到，帕帕就引用了薄伽瓦坛的第一篇第三章第28世节。
And so Vedanti Tattat Vavidas Tattvam Yajgana Madhyam, it said that those who are learned self-realized souls.
他就说到所有这些已经自我觉悟了的灵魂。
They say that the absolute truth is one.
他们都说绝对真理是一。
Advaya means one. There's not two. There's not different.
What is that word?
Advayam.
Advayam. 所以说这个世界当中的 Advayam 这个字眼就是指一，而不是二，不是三的意思。
But you can understand the absolute truth from three different perspectives.
但是的话，你却可以通过三种不同的视角来理解绝对真理。
That everything is one energy that's all connected, that's all the same, and that's called Brahman.
所有的一切都是一，所有的一切都是相连接的，都是一样的。这种能量就被称为Brahman, 梵。
And that's absolutely true.
而这是绝对真实的。
And then there's also another aspect called Paramatma.
然后第二个方面就是 Paramatma.
That although all energy is one same energy, it does have a source.
虽然所有的能量都是一种能量，但是的话，它们都有一个源头。
Paramatma.
那就是 Paramatma 超灵。
And Even though there's one energy and there's one source, the source is a sentient being, a person.
即便所有的一切都是一种能量，即便所有这些能量都有一个源头，但是的话，这个源头却是一种有觉知、有知觉的存在。
And no one is independent or separate from that person.
而没有任何一个生命是与这个原初的人相分离的，或者是独立于他而存在的。
And then Prabhupada gives the example of the sunshine, the sun disk or planet, and then the person who lives in the sun.
然后帕就给到了这样一个例子，然后有阳光。有这个太阳星球的球面，然后以及居住在太阳星球上的人的这个例子。
And they're not separate from each other.
而这三个方面都不是彼此相分离的。
But from different perspectives, they may appear to be separate or different.
但是的话呢，通过不同的角度来看，就可能看起来好像这三个方面是相分离的，然后或者是不同的。
Like if you're just looking up at the sun, when it rises, you may not be able to see the disk or the planet itself, but you only just see the light.
这就像是如果太阳高挂在天空中，我们这个时候抬头看太阳，那可能就看不到这个太阳的这个星球的表面，而只能看到阳光。
Yeah, but if you wear, you know, thick sunglasses and have a filter,on the lens, you'll see that it's light, but it's also a planet. That the light is coming from the planet.
但是的话，如果我们这时候看太阳是戴着这种太阳眼镜，然后这个太阳眼镜上有很特殊的这些绿层的这个颜色，这个在这个太阳眼镜上的话，我们就会看到，太阳它是一个这个球体， 然后阳光都是从这个球体上发射出来的。
And then if your glasses have a transcendental lens, you might see the Surya Narayan there, who is God in the form of the sun.
哦 ，Surya，
Surya means sun, Narayan. Surya Narayan, the sun god.
Oh, Surya Narayan. And also you're saying we have the transcendental lens, we can see the sun god there.
Yeah.
然后而如果我们要是有这种超燃的镜头，超燃的这个不叫镜片，应该叫镜片，对，如果戴着太阳眼镜，这个太阳眼镜这个有超燃的镜片的话，我们就会看到这个 Surya Narayan 就是太阳神，他就在这个太阳星球上。
So these are there are different perspectives, but they're equally true.
因此的话刚才提到的这些都是不同的视角，但是所有的这些角度的话都是同样的真实的。
Another way of expressing this verse is the way Lord Chaitanya has expressed it.
然后which verse, Gurumaj?
This verse, Vedanti Tattva Vidas Tattva Nyas Ganamanvayam.
Oh, 我纠正一下哈，刚才说的那个诗节的源头我说错了，不是 1.3.28 而是 1.2.11， 然后所以说这个是出现在药子最前面的那个博迦瓦坛的诗节，然后这个诗节曾经也被主持他俩另一种方式来讲述过。
And Lord Chaitanya says that the absolute truth is achinta abheda bheda tattva.
主持他俩就把绝对真理描述为 achinta所以跟大家称他
Bade Abade
Tattva. Bade Abade Tattva.
So Achinta means beyond mental conception, beyond human conception.
Achinta 这个梵文词的意思就是指超越了人类的感知范畴之外，这个意思。
And simultaneously one and different.
即一即一。
So bade abade means one and different.
所以说这个后面紧接着两个词 bade abade 的意思就是即一即一的意思。
Abade abade tattva. Tattva means true. The absolute truth.
然后最后这个 tattva 的意思就是指真实的真理的绝对真实的。
Yeah, so,another way we can look at this is the absolute truth as just different perspectives is through language itself or grammar.
Language of grammar. 而我们可以以另一种不同的方式来阅读来理解这个梵文诗节，那就是通过语言本身，也就是语法本身来不同来看待这个诗节。
Right. So sometimes we speak in the first person when we're talking about ourselves. We say 我 or me.
所以有些时候我们在说话，我们都会用第一人称我，对吧？就比如说我怎么怎么样啊，然后说话的时候就会用第一人称我。
Yeah. So that's self-realization or Brahman. I'm pure spirit.
所以说自我觉悟 Brahman 也就是。被表达为我是灵性的。
And sometimes we talk in the second person.
而有些时候我们说话会用第二人称来说。
We talk about he or she.
我们就会第二人称是他。
Right, so that's like we also have the perspective of Paramatma, a source to us.
Oh, Paramatma as a second person.
Yeah, because we're aware of ourselves, but now we're aware of Paramatma. So it's like now there's two, right?
I see. 所以说的话呢，在谈论超灵的时候，我们就会用第二人称。第二人称就是他，对吧？就相当于我们现在既觉知到了自己是作为灵性的存在，也觉知到了另一个存在，那就是 Paramatma， 就是超灵了。
And then we also talk about the third person in terms of third persons.
然后我们在说话的时候也会使用第三人称。
Yeah, so like us and them.
这个第三人称就是我们、他们。
Yeah, so I'm pure spirit.
所以我是灵性的存在。
The source of that spirit is Paramatma.
而这灵性的存在的源头就是 Paramatma, 超灵。
Who is an independent sentient being, Bhagavan?
而谁是那independent sentient being, Bhagavan? 而谁是那个独立的有生命的存在 ,Bhagavan 呢？
Whose ultimate form is Krishna.
谁是的他的这个最终的形体是 Krishna.
Yeah, so God is the Supreme Person, and we are simultaneously one and different than Him.
神是至尊的存在，而我们和神是即一即一的。
So it's very important in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita to establish that Krishna is just not, another Kshatriya, and now he's just going to become the guru of Krishna, of Arjuna.
因此很重要的是在博迦梵歌的一开头能够去树立 Krishna 的这个地位。那么他的地位就是他不仅仅只是另一位刹帝利，而他是作为 Arjuna 的 guru， 灵性导师要即将来给 Arjuna 上课了。
Yeah, so before Krishna begins giving his transcendental instructions, the Bhagavad Gita establishes that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead.
因此就在 Krishna 即将要给予 Arjuna 灵超然的训示之前，在此之前的话，博迦梵歌首先树立起 Krishna 作为至尊人格神首的地位。
And so whatever instruction gives, that instruction is infallible. It's directly God speaking.
Directly God speaking. 因此无论Krishna 给予 Arjuna 怎样的训示和教导，那么他所说的话语都是毫无错误的，因为他是直接是神本人在给予指导。
Yet in the story, Arjuna hasn't really asked Krishna to instruct him yet.
但在故事进展到这里， Arjuna 还没有去直接的请求 Krishna 给予他建议，给予他帮助呢。
This is interesting that Prabhupada says that we shouldn't instruct anyone who's not our student, or we shouldn't instruct anyone who hasn't asked for our instruction or hasn't asked to be our student. It's not our place.
Okay. This is actually how Papa wants to tell us that.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah.
Okay, 所以说在这里的话，Arjuna 他还没有开始向 Krishna 请求，就是得到他的这个帮助和建议和训示。所以说有趣的是，实际上Papa他是以这种方式来教导我们，那就是我们不应该去给予别人建议和这个训示，如果这个人不是我们的学生，就我们对于那些不是我们学生的人，对于那些不是来请求得到我们的建议和训示的那些人，我们是不应该去给予别人建议的，就不要随便的给别人提意见，除非对方是你的学生，除非对方主动来要求请求得到你的建议和帮助。
Yeah, so this is a very important principle when it comes to exchange of knowledge.
因此当涉及到交换知识的方面时，这个原则是非常非常重要的，是我们应该谨记的。
Right, you just can't give knowledge to someone; they have to be qualified.
所以你就不能只是随便的把知识给出去，对方是必须要有资格的才行。
They have to be able to receive the knowledge.
而这个对方必须要有资格的意思，就是指对方能够去接受你的知识。
The main qualification is that they have to be open. They have to want the knowledge. They have to be open to receiving.
而他们所需要具备的最主要的资格，那就是他们必须得是心胸开阔的。这个不叫心胸开阔啊，就是他们是敞开的，对，敞开的。他们愿意敞开自己来接受这门知识，这就是主要的资格。
That means they have to inquire. They have to ask for your advice.
换句话说，就是对方会主动的提出来，提出他们的这个想要提出要求，对，请你来给予他们建议和训斥。
Yeah, so knowledge is like a seed that you plant.
知识就像是种子一样，你是种下去一颗种子的。
If you just throw the seed on the pavement, it's, you know, just the car is going to run over it and it's just going to turn to dust.
而如果只是把种子抛洒在柏油马路上，那么只会是车子直接碾过去，然后把种子给碾成了灰尘而已。
Yeah, so the soil, you have to have good soil in order to plant the seed if you want it to grow.
所以如果你想要种子发芽生长，那么你就需要去跟准备好这个土壤，土壤要准备好以后，你才能把种子放进去，然后才能够开这个长大，开树结花。
Yeah. So at this point in the Gita, Krishna is still speaking to Arjuna as friend to friend, as kshatriya to kshatriya.
因此在薄伽梵歌的这一刻的时候。Krishna 仍然是作为另一位沙地利在和 Arjuna 交流的，他们俩还是朋友和朋友的身份在交流。
Yeah, so he's from a Kshatriya's point of view, he's saying, Arjuna, you're not acting like a Kshatriya should be acting.
所以说Krishna 就站在这个沙地利的角度来对 Arjuna 说。Arjuna, 你可没有就是像一位真正的刹帝利那样在表现。
Because the Kshatriyas, you know, they're part of the Aryan civilization.
因为刹帝利是亚里安文明的一部分。
And Aryan civilization is a very advanced civilization because it's all based on self-realization.
而亚里安文明是非常进步的文明，因为它是基于自我觉悟的。
So everyone in the Aryan civilization knows from the moment of birth that they're just temporary visitors, and they're not supposed to try and make a permanent residence here.
因此的话呢，出生在雅利安文明当中的每一个人，自出生那一刻起就知道自己是这个地球上的这个短暂的拜访者。所以短暂的拜访者，他们是不会在这里，不会把这里当作一个永恒的这个居住地的。
Yeah, so Krishna is saying that, you know, everyone in the Aryan civilization knows that this human form of life is just a precious stepping stone to a better next life.
Better next life. 因此的话呢，雅利安文明当中的每个人都知道，他们现在所拥有的这种人体的生命是非常珍贵的踏脚石，对，非常珍贵的踏脚石，使他们能够踩在上面，得以进入到更好的来世。
Because the human form of life is very, very precious.
因为人体生命是非常非常珍贵的。
It has the greatest potential.
人体生命具有最大的潜力。
That one can potentially transcend the cycle of birth and death and go to the permanent dimension of life, the spiritual world.
Spiritual world. 而人类是具备潜力来超越生死轮回，并到达生命的永恒维度，即灵性世界。
Yeah, so one who understands this human life from this perspective is an Arya.
而一个人如果能以这种视角来看待人体生命的话，那么他就是一位雅利安人。
Yeah, so they don't expect to live in this body forever, and they understand that this body, if you use it correctly, can get you out of the cycle of birth and death and into the spiritual world.
他们知道，他们不会期望要把这个身体当作是一个罪过吗？ They don't expect
They don't expect to stay in this world forever.
哦，他们不会期望着要永恒的待在这个世界上，而他们明白，如果恰当的使用人体生命的话，就能够成功的超越生死轮回，得以到达更好的，得以到达永恒的生命维度，也就是灵性世界了。
Yeah, so the Aryans are very conscientious that they have a very short time here in the human form of life, very short.
因此雅利安人是能够非常非常觉知到他们在这里就拥有这个人体生命的时间跨度是非常非常短暂的。
Yeah, and so every thought, every word, every deed has a consequence.
每一个念头、每一句话语和每一个行为都是会带来某种结果或者是后果的。
Yeah, it can keep you here, on the material planets.
每一个念头、每一个话语和每一个行为所带来的结果，可能是让你继续留在这个物质世界上。
Or you could be degraded to the hellish planets or an animal form.
或者是会把你降级到地狱星球或是动物的身体当中。
Or you can go to the heavenly planets or transcend the material world altogether.
或者是你可以去到天堂星球，甚至是完完全全的超越这所有的一切。
Right, it's like picking out ice cream. Which flavor would you like, sir?
这就有点像是我们去商店里买冰淇淋一样的。然后卖家就会问你，你想吃什么口味的冰淇淋呢？
Yeah, so for a Kshatriya, you know, there's no question of being a pacifist.
Oh, okay. No question. Like, they do not think of acting as a diplomat, as a pacifist.
Yeah, no. They have to protect others.
Okay. 所以说对于夏地利而言，他们是不可能能够作为这种和平使者，就是尽量的维持和平的这种角色，而他们必须尽职责去保护他人。
And protect means not just the body, but you know where is the you know it means to protect the soul to and make sure that the soul advances in life and doesn't become degraded.
而保护是什么呢？保护不仅是指保护其他人的身体，并且也是保护其他人的灵魂，使得他们能得以在人生中进步，而不是堕落。
Yeah, and so there's always going to be evil forces.
所以总是会存在有邪恶的力量的。
And those forces, they are, really, they work against the order of God in the universe.
而这些邪恶的力量是违背于神，或者是违背于宇宙的这种违背于神的训令，违背于宇宙的原则，在运作着的。
Yeah, so you know there has to be a class of people that confront evildoers.
因此的话就必须要有这一阶层的人的存在是能够去直面抵抗邪恶力量的。
So those people, the Kshatriyas, they have to put their life on the line.
因此这些对抗邪恶力量的人也就是沙地利他们就必须要让自己的生命处于一种危险的境地。
And Krishna is speaking to Arjuna from that perspective.
而 Krishna 就是基于这样一个角度来和 Arjuna 说话的。
And he's saying, Arjuna, what's wrong with you? Why have you forgotten the Kshatriya code?
他就对 Arjuna 就说到，Arjuna 呀，你到底是怎么回事啊？你怎么会忘记了萨利利的准则呢？
Yeah, so this will not...You know, this will not lead you to liberation or to higher planets, but simply you're going to become infamous.
而你的这种行径是不会把你带向解脱，带向更高的星球的，反而是会导致你这种名誉全无的。
So basically, Krishna is going to speak to Arjuna as a friend, as a kshatriya, until Arjuna asks him for advice or wants him to become his guru.
所以说的话呢，是直到 Arjuna 主动提出要求 Krishna 给予他建议和训示，成为他的 guru。在此之前的话， Krishna 他都是把 Arjuna当作是朋友，当作是另一位沙帝利的这样一种身份角色来和他交流说话的。
Yeah, so, you know, of course, we can always give our opinion to others.
当然我们总是可以把自己的意见和观点给到他人的。
And here, Krishna, he's just giving his opinion, really.
所以说在这里的话， Krishna 他也是把他的这个观点，他的意见讲给了 Arjuna 听。
Yeah, but it's not our duty to advise others or instruct others unless they ask us to.
因此除非是对方主动提出来，否则我们是没有责任是要去训示别人，是要去给予别人建议的。这个建议的话是指那种就是有一种尊卑在里面，就是更高的人的给予更低的人的建议，他的这个英文词是有这个含义在里面的。
So this is an important boundary to have for ourselves and to have with others in our relationships.
因此的话呢，在我们的人际关系中有这样的一种界限，这样一种分寸感，对于我们自己和对于他人来说是很重要的。
We're responsible for ourselves. We can only save ourselves. We can't save someone else.
我们只对自己负责，我们只能去拯救自己，而我们是无法去拯救其他任何一个人的。
And we can't help anyone else unless they ask for it. That's a boundary.
而只有当对方提出请求的时候，我们才能够去帮助对方。这就是一种界限，或者叫做分寸感。
And Krishna is honoring that boundary.
而 Krishna 是在荣耀这种界限，这种分寸感的。
Yeah, he won't be actually begin to instruct Arjuna till Arjuna asks for instruction, and that will start at text 11, really.
所以说是直到 Arjuna 主动提出要求 Krishna 来给予他训示和建议，然后在此之前 Krishna 都是把他当朋友，当沙帝利来对待，然后而 Arjuna 提出这样的要求是要到第二章的第十一十节的时候他才提出来的。
Okay, so I think I'll open it up for questions now.
Okay, 好，所以说现在正课讲完，然后大家如果有问题的话呢，就可以提出来。我们现在一起来回答上个星期剩下的问题。Okay, let's look at the questions from last week, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, 我们来看上个星期问题。上个星期剩下的第一个问题是 Dala Kelly 问的。大大问的是感恩咕噜的讲解，请问当我们经受身体之苦时，这感受的确很痛苦，但是这痛苦的感觉来自于心意，对不？如果我把身体疼痛痛苦的感觉冥想成甜蜜的感觉，是不是就不苦了？虽然在受着疼痛的这个在受苦，但是的话却不会感到疼痛，深深的顶拜您啊！谢谢亲爱的 Narayan， 谢谢你，亲爱的。So here, Dala Kelly is saying that thank you so much for your lecture. And my question is that when we are suffering from physical pain, and it's really very painful, and so this kind of painful sensations come from the mind, right? That's her first question.And then she continued asking that if I meditate on the painful sensation in the body and meditate to be a sweet, enjoyable, pleasurable, sensations. So if I do that, will I stop suffering? Will I stop feeling pain from it? So basically that I'm still suffering from pain, but I'm not feeling painful anymore. That's the second part.
Thank you for your question, Donna Kaylee.
谢谢大大的问题。
Yeah, so the first question is, when you feel pain in the body, is it coming from your mind?
所以你问到的第一个问题是，这个痛苦的感觉是不是来自于心意？
So I think we have to make a distinction here between suffering and painful sensations.
因此我想我在这里来区分一下这个受苦和疼痛的感觉，这二者它之间的区别。
Yeah, so when we injure our body or we have some disease, there are many painful sensations, like if we have a headache or we have a skin itch or, we fall off our bike and hit something, you know.
所以说顾姐说到，当我们受伤或者是遭受某种疾病的时候，就会经历到体验到许多疼痛的感觉，就比如说头疼啊，然后或者是这个皮肤瘙痒，就是那种严重瘙痒，然后或者是比如说骑自行车的时候从自行车上摔下来，然后撞到什么东西了，然后这所有的一切疼痛的感觉。
Yeah, so those sensations are coming from the body.
而这些感觉都来源于我们的身体。
But then, how does the mind and the ego react to that painful sensation?
但是接着，我们的心意、假我是对这些疼痛的感觉是如何反应的呢？
Well, usually we just react with a heavy resistance.
而往往我们都是带着一种极其沉重的抗拒，或者叫阻抗，来对这些疼痛做出反应的。
We don't want it.
我们不想要这些感觉。
We wonder why it's there.
然后我们还在想，哎呀，这为啥还继续在这儿这么疼呢？
And sometimes we try and rationalize it. Oh, it's, you know, my past karma.
然后有的时候我们还会给他找理由，就会想，这是我过往的业报才会导致我现在受苦。
I should just accept it.
或者就会去说，我就应该只是去接受它，忍受它，逆来顺受，接受就行了。
Yeah, so that reduces the resistance. It can, temporarily.
而这些想法，这些言语的话呢，可以暂时的减少我们对这些疼痛的阻抗，或者叫抗拒。
Anyway, it's the non-acceptance of the sensation and the reaction, the mental and ego reaction to the sensation that causes suffering.
It's a non-acceptance and the reaction to the...
Well, we don't accept the pain and we reject it, right? We don't accept it.
Okay.
We don't allow it to be there. We try and get rid of it, right?
Called suffering. 因此的话呢，正是我们对这些疼痛、这些痛苦的不接纳，也就是我们不愿意它在那里，我们想要摆脱掉这些痛苦，就这样的一种态度的话，就会导致我们受苦。
And, you know, that's an unconscious reaction. Like, it's a mental reaction that we have to pain in the body.
而这就是我们对身体当中的疼痛所抱有的这种心意上的反应，是一种无知觉的，或者叫无觉知的这样一种反应。
But if we, you know, so we're kind of like turning away from that sensation.
所以这有点像是我们背转过身，背对着所有的这些，逃避着所有的这些疼痛。
Right, and we hate it, we worry about it.We start thinking, and we think about it, and the resistance increases, and the suffering increases.
我们很讨厌、厌恶这些感受，然后或者是很焦虑、很担心这些痛苦，然后或者就是反正不愿他们在那里，然后就是这种越多的抗拒，就导致我们越发受苦。
Yeah, so I used to see this all the time with children. If I told them I was going to give them a shot.In the arm, they would totally freak out And they would, and if I, and then I'd give them the shot, and then it was like they're dying in pain.
嗯，所以 Guru 就说他曾经上班的时候，有的时候要给那些小孩子打针，所以如果在给小孩子打针之前，告诉他们你们要打针了，然后肯定这小孩子就立刻的会开始尖叫，会吓坏了。然后当针头真的是进入到他们的这个皮肤里面的时候，他们就会觉得自己仿佛都要死掉了。
Yeah, so their suffering began before they even felt the pain.
嗯，因此的话呢，是在告诉小孩子他们要打针的时候，这个都还在痛苦没发生之前，这受苦就已经开始了。
But I learned, you know, quickly that I should have the mother distract the child and not tell the child what I was going to do.
嗯，所以说很快我就明白了一点，那就是要在打针的时候，首先让孩子的母亲转移他们的注意力，让他们根本不知道自己要被打针。
Then I'd give them the shot, but they couldn't see me giving them the shot.
然后我就给他们打针呗，但是他们这小朋友是看不到我做的这个动作的。
And of course, as soon as the needle went in, their arm, they would start to cry.
当然，一旦当他们感知到这个针头已经进入到他们的手臂血管里了，他们就会开始哭。
But then they'd stop crying in a few minutes.
嗯，但是的话，过几分钟他们就会停止哭泣了。
Yeah, but if they knew they were going to get a shot, the crying would start before they got the shot.During the shot and long after the shot.
哦，但是如果小孩子们要是在被打针之前就知道自己要被打针了，那么他们在这个针头进入到身体之前就会开始哭，然后在打针的过程当中会哭，然后甚至是在打针都结束之后，仍然会很长一段时间的在哭喊。
So the best thing to do with physical pain is first to acknowledge that it's there.
因此对于身体的痛苦我们能够做的最好的方式就是首先去承认它的存在。
And also notice the condition resistance in the form of thoughts and worry and dislike.
嗯，然后我们去注意到对这些疼痛的受物质制约的反应模式，就比如说什么样的念头呀，什么样的话语啊，什么样的行为啊，我们会往往都会做出来，来应对这些，来对这些东西做出反应。
And then to go deeper into the sensation of pain.
Go deeper into the sensation of the pain.
Yeah, and allow yourself to be very conscious of it.
嗯，然后就允许你非常能够去觉知到这身体的疼痛，就更深的去进入到这些身体的疼痛。
And send those cells love, just like you would for a crying baby that's crying out for attention.
嗯，然后把你的爱送达给这个疼痛部位的这些细胞，因为这些细胞，这些疼痛的部位的话呢，就像是一个在哭泣的小孩子，一个哭喊的孩子，他们很痛苦，很难受，就是为了去得到你的注意，得到你的关注。
And give it some loving care.
嗯，把你的一些充满爱的关怀给予这些细胞。
And just for a few moments.
嗯，就这么在几个片刻之内。
Yeah, give it the full light of your presence.
把你全部的知觉之光都给予他们。
That part of you that's untouched by the pain, the awareness itself.
嗯，而你作为知觉的这一部分的你是完全不被疼痛所触碰的，它是这种纯粹的光芒。
Yeah, that awareness is always connected with God.
而这一部分的知觉是永远和神相连接的。
And let the love of God, you can not that we have such love, but Krishna, He loves us, and we can channel His love.
嗯 ，OK， 就并不是说我们就有这样的爱，而是因为Krishna 爱我们，因此我们可以把 Krishna 给我们的爱导向于这些痛苦的身体部位。
Yeah, so for a few moments, be present with the pain, open your heart and ask Krishna to bless the pain with his love.
所以说就在几个片刻之内去临在，然后和这疼痛一起临在，并且敞开你的心灵去请求 Krishna 来祝福这些细胞，请求 Krishna 以他的爱来赐福于这个疼痛的位置。
Yeah, not with the motivation to get rid of the pain, but to give the pain the love that it needs.
而这样做的目的动机并不是要去摆脱掉这疼痛，而是要把爱给予这疼痛的这些部位，这些细胞，是因为他们在疼痛的原因，就是因为他们想要得到你的爱，得到你的关注。
Yeah, so we're just coming into right relationship with our physical pain.
因此当我们这样做的时候，就正是在进入和我们的身体疼痛的正确的关系。
And of course, we should always seek medical help.
当然我们也总是应该去寻求医疗上的这种帮助的。
And, you know, do whatever, make any necessary changes we need to make in our lifestyle or our diet, take medicine, whatever.
然后去做出必要的这些改变来改善这个身体健康。比如说是生活方式的改变啊，饮食习惯啊，然后以及吃药等等。
Yeah, so pain is, you know, probably coming from the body, but the suffering comes in how we're relating to the pain.
Okay, relate to the pain. 因此疼痛是来自于身体的，但是我们是否受苦，只是来自于我们是如何与这疼痛，我们是如何来应对这些疼痛的。
Right, we can hate it or we can love it in the sense that we're concerned about it and ask, you know, the Lord to bless that pain.
我们可以去憎恨这些痛苦，或者我们也可以去爱这些痛苦。我们爱这些痛苦的这种方式，就是指我们很在意他们，我们把注意力给到他们，并且我们请求主来祝福他们，来把爱给赐予他们。
Okay, thank you, Donna Kelly, for that question.
谢谢大家的问题。Okay, next one.
Yes.
Okay, 我们来下一个问题。Kodani Tai Mataji 问，他说到，亲爱的 Gumaraja, 这一段时间父亲去世，总有人劝说不要哭，应该高兴才对。我不想吃饭，也总有人劝说你不应该悲伤不吃饭。有人告诉我如何跟快走的老父亲说，你这个时候了，谁也帮不了你，只有 Krishna 能帮你。伺候的家人理解为我大不孝，心里不理解。解读为我大不孝，心里不理解。老人听了反而心情沉重不安。请问碰到这种事儿，我们最恰当的心态是什么？ Okay, so here Kodani Tai is talking about her recent experience that her father passed away, actually. And then during this whole event, some people would give her suggestion like, oh, please, you don't need to cry. You should feel happy about it. And then she says that when I don't want to eat, I have no appetite. And some other person would also suggest to me that, oh, you shouldn't feel sad.And you shouldn't feel sad, and you shouldn't have no appetite. And someone would also tell me that just your father is about to die, and no one can help you in this moment. Only Krishna can help you. And if and the family members that I was with would interpret me thinking like that, thinking that I just...not a good daughter, not a good family person. And they wouldn't understand at all that you're saying that, oh, no one can help you, only Krishna can help you. And if the elderly persons in the family, like if my father heard that and would actually have a very heavy mood and feeling not good, having a heavy mood. And so My question is that encountering things like this, what is a proper mindset that we should have or group we should have?
Well, you should be aware of your proper boundaries.
嗯，你应该去觉知到恰当的界限或者分寸感。
Now, a lot of people don't have boundaries. Or don't have proper boundaries.
嗯，很多人都没有恰当的界限感。
And even though they're well-intended, what they say may just make you feel worse. May not be helpful at all.
嗯，即便他们的意图是良好的，但是他们所说的话或者所做的事情是并不能真正的帮到你，反而只会让事情更糟。
Yeah, so you should monitor your reaction to their words.
嗯，因此你应该去监督你自己对别人说的这些话所做出的反应，你要去监督你的反应。
And then, you know, give them a little, give them a little compassion. Look at them, look at them, you know, compassionately.
嗯，然后并且的话，把你的一些同情心给予这些人，你能够以一种同情怜悯之心来看待这些人。
Always remember the five human weaknesses.
嗯，并且总是记得我之前讲过的人性的五种弱点，五种缺陷。
Now, we're motivated by all or one of these practically with every thought and word and deed we do.
嗯，我们基本上作为人类的话，所有的念头、话语和行为都是被那五种缺点或缺陷当中的一种或全部所支配的、所驱动的。
We're ignorant.
我们很无知。
Unconscious.
无知觉。
Selfish.
自私。
Right. Sometimes we want to tell others what to do because we think we know it all. That's kind of selfish.
嗯，有的时候我们会对别人说，哎，你该这样这样做，你该那样那样做。然后是因为我们觉得自己真的就很懂嘛，然后就很懂，然后自然而然就要给别人建议呗。但这实际上是一种很自私的做法。
Right. I've been a devotee 6 months longer than you. Therefore, I have the right to tell you what to do.
哦，我当奉献者可比你年长了，我都比你早6个月进这个组织，进这个团体，所以说我有权利告诉你你该怎样怎样。
Or how a devotee is supposed to feel.
嗯，哦，或者是我该告诉你，你作为奉献者，你应该有什么什么样的感觉，什么样的感受才对。
So ignorant, unconscious, selfish.
嗯，所以说这五种缺点，第一种我们刚刚说的无知，第二种是无知觉或叫无意识，第三种就是自私。
And we're afraid.
然后第四种就是我们很害怕，很恐惧。
And we're also craving to be accepted and appreciated.
嗯，并且的话，我们也非常渴望能够被别人接受，能够被别人欣赏。
Yeah, so just notice those qualities within yourself, and then you can have compassion for somebody else who has the same problems.
嗯，所以说你就只需去注意到你自己所具有的这些特征特点，而后的话，你也就能够对其他具有同样特征特点的其他人抱有同情怜悯之心了。
Yeah, and then don't hold a grudge. Just let it go. Don't come down to their level.
嗯，然后的话呢，也不要这种心怀怨恨，而是放手那些怨念，放手对别人的不满的这些念头和情绪，而不要把自己堕落到和其他人的同样的地步。
It reminds me of a story that Vaisheshika Prabhu sometimes tells.
嗯，这倒是让我想起有些时候Vaisheshika Maharaj 他所讲的一个故事。
Yeah, he was on a book distributor party for a long time, all brahmacharis and very austere.
嗯，他曾经有很长一段时间是待在一个派书的一个运动，这个叫一个团体当中的。然后这个团体当中的所有人都是 brahmachari， 都是真守僧。
And they would never miss a day. I mean, it was every day. There was no breaks.
然后他们非常的苦行，就没有哪一天是放假了的，每一天都必须出去派书。
And one day there was this one, you know, very famous book distributor, Mahab. Well, I shouldn't say his name.
Okay.
Anyway, he was sick.
哦，然后有一天的话呢，就有一位这个非常出名的派书的奉献者，那他就生病了。
And a devotee went up to him and said, Prabhu, you know, you should come out on book distribution with us because you know you're not your body.
然后就有另外一位奉献者就走到这位非常就病得有点厉害的这位奉献者面前，就对他说，跑步，你应该跟着我们一起来加入到这个派书活动中，就不要请假了，因为你知道你不是你的这具身体。
And then the devotee who was sick, he said to the devotee who had told him you're not your body, he said to him, well, you are not my body either.
然后这个奉献者呢，就对刚才说这一番话的奉献者就说了接下来这句话，跑步，你可不是我的身体。
I thought that was a perfect answer.
所以我想的话，这是一个非常完美的一个回答。
Yeah, so just leave it at that.
What is leave at that?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess...What I'm trying to say is that there are no accidents, right?
我们都知道这世上没有偶然，对吧？没有偶然现象。
Yeah, so there's a lesson for us to learn in whatever happens and whoever we encounter, and even if the person is totally obnoxious.
所以说我们所遇到的一切事情或者我们所遇到的每一个人在其背后都是有一个功课或者是有一个课题是我们要去领悟到的，即便我们可能遇到的这个人是非常令人讨厌的。
OK
next one.
Yeah.
我们来看下一个问题。OK, so here this SSD5854C 这位奉献者说，顶拜咕噜和翻译不敢当，不挑剔，如何从内心真正做到？有时候家人做的事确实不理想，让人无法接受，但也要全然接受现实，不挑剔指责，是吗？感恩。 OK, so here is devotee is asking thatHow to actually not being critical from within? How to be non-critical from within? Sometimes my families, the things they do are indeed unacceptable, just not, not good, unacceptable. However, I should not be judgmental, should not be critical about them.Actually, just fully accept the reality, right?
Well, you can't change them, that's right.
所以第一点就是你是无法去改变你的家人的。
You know, if there's a situation where you can create a helpful change, then go ahead. But if you can't, you know, and we can't change anyone else, then we have to accept them as they are. It doesn't mean that we agree with what they're doing, but we accept them that's, you know, their choice.
所以如果针对一个状况的话，你可以做出一些改变来使得这个状况变好，或者是使得它能够带来某种良好的结果的话，那么你当然可以去做出这样的改变。但是的话呢，如果你想不到任何的方法方式来改变这种境况，那你也就只能够去如其所示的接受这现实。但是你对这个现实的接受并不意味着你就是同意对方的做法的，因为你是无法去改变，你是无法去改变另一个人的。
Yeah, so again, especially in family relationships, personal boundaries, respecting each other's boundaries are important.
尤其是在家人关系中，尊敬彼此的个人界限是非常重要的。
Yeah, so everybody has their, you know, free will, and we have to respect that. That doesn't mean that we agree with it.
每个人都有自己的自由意志，我们都应该去 接受每个人的这种自由意志的做法，但这并不意味着我们就要去同意另一个人的做法。
So what do we do when we have negative thoughts about others?
那么当我们对另一个人产生了负面消极的念头的时候，我们应该怎么办呢？
Right, those negative thoughts pollute us and they pollute others. They have energy.
这些负面消极的念头是不仅会污染我们，也会污染身边的人的。
So the first thing we need to do is bring it to consciousness, be present with the thought, observe our thought, notice that it's there.
所以第一点要做的事就是把这些念头，这些负面的念头和情绪带入到觉知之中，去观察它们，去注意到它们的存在。
And we can even become more conscious of it by just labeling it, saying, oh, there's a negative thought.
我们甚至可以通过给这些念头贴标签的方式来变得更加的去觉知到这些念头，就比如说贴上这个负面念头这样的一种标签。
And then we can become a channel for Krishna's love.
然后的话，我们就可以成为 Krishna 的爱的一个通道。
Yeah, first we have to confess in all humility to Krishna that, you know, we're also fallen. We're also ignorant, we're also unconscious.
那么首先我们要带着谦卑来向 Krishna 坦诚，我自己是非常堕落的，我真的是非常无知，是无知觉的。
And then ask Krishna to bless you and to bless them and send that blessing to them.
然后就请求 Krishna 来赐福我，并且赐福于那一个人。
Not that so much that you're assuming that you know what is best for them and that you're better for them and better than them.
但这样做的过程中。但这样做的过程中并不是有这样一种意味哈，就比如说你知道的比这个人更多呀，然后或者你懂得比这个人更多呀，然后反正就是没有这种你比另一个人更好的这样一层含义在里面，并不是如此的。
But you pray for their highest good. Krishna knows what that is.
而你是为这个人的至高的利益而祈祷。而 Krishna 知道对于这个人的至高的利益而言来说是什么。
OK
Next one.
Yeah.
下一个问题，这位Rasa 这个名字开头的奉献者问 Dimbai Guru， 我女儿问有人见过 Krishna 吗？ OK, so this Mataji is asking that my daughter is asking that has there anyone that has met Krishna before? Has there anyone that ever met Krishna or seen Krishna?
Not that I met.
Guru 说到，我遇到的过的人当中还没有谁见过 Krishna.
But there are some, you know, great sages and ancient people, you know, Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they claim to have seen Krishna.
但是的话，有一些伟大的圣人，这些古代的圣者，然后包括主财他娘和他的追随者们，他们都是声称曾见过 Krishna 的。
Good question, though. You know. we should all be like little children.
或者说这个问题问得很好，我们都应该。都应该有像这种像小朋友一样有这样一种童心童真在那里去问这些可爱的问题。
Sometimes Prabhupada was asked if he had seen Krishna or not.
曾经的话也有奉献者问过Prabhupada，就是问Prabhupada有没有见过 Krishna 本人。
But Prabhupada would answer that question with a question.
而Prabhupada会以一个问题来回答这个问题。
He would say, whether I've seen Krishna or not, how would that help you?
帕帕就说，我见没见过 Krishna， 这个事情对你有任何帮助没有呢？
So, you know, it's up to us to see Krishna.
Sorry too much,
we have to see Krishna for ourselves. It Just talking to somebody else who claims to have seen Krishna, it really isn't going to change our life.
Okay, I see. Change our life. 因此，顾主说到，就完全取决于我们自己是不是愿意想要努力的去见到 Krishna， 而仅仅的是去询问另一个人你有没有见过 Krishna， 这个对方见没见过这个事实对于我们来说是没有任何益处的。
Yeah, so all of us are fallen souls.
我们所有人都是堕落的灵魂。
Yeah, so we have to rectify ourselves to see Krishna.
因此我们需要首先纠正自己，然后才能得以见到 Krishna。
So we have to, you know, we have to reestablish our relationship with Krishna, and we have to, you know, we have to become, you know, fire. Only the spiritual world is like fire, and we have to become fire if we want to enter into that.
Spiritual what is like fire?
The spiritual world is like fire.
Okay. And we have to become fire too.
Yeah, in order to go into fire, you have to become fire.
I see. 所以说顾主说到我们应该努力的去重建和 Krishna 之间的关系。然后就打个比方，灵性世界就像是火焰一样。如果我们想要进入到火焰之中，真正的融入进去，那么我们自己就必须要变成火焰，才能够真正的进入到火焰之中。
Okay,
next one.
Yeah.
下一个问题，2626这一串数字的奉献者问道：顶拜咕噜，请问奉献者可以喝牛奶，还可以吃牛身上的黄油，这和吃牛的肉有什么区别？我们喝奶吃黄油是否就是在给别人吃肉的机会？ Okay, so here is devotees asking a question, and I think he probably misunderstand about the butter. So he is asking, or she is asking that,drinking milk, what's the difference between drinking milk, eating butter, and eating the cow meat, eating beef? I think he thinks that the butter is the oil from the beef, from the cow meat. So he's saying that we drinking milk and eating butter, isn't that given opportunity for other people to eat meat?
Well, you know, just from a physiological point of view, there's a big difference between drinking milk, eating butter, and eating meat.
从生理学的这个角度来看，喝牛奶、吃黄油和吃牛肉是完全不同的。
Of course, everything in moderation.
Everything is in moderation.
Wait, before I say that. If, you know, science has demonstrated that milk and now butter actually is very good for the human body. In moderation.
In moderation. Okay. 科学已经证明了适量的牛奶和适量的黄油对于人体是非常健康的。
Right, vitamin D, protein, even the butter fat, that kind of fat is, you know, easily digested, you know, by your liver.
就是这个牛奶和黄油当中所含有的维生素 D, 蛋白质以及这个脂肪，就是黄油当中所含有的脂肪是很容易很轻易的能够被人体被肝脏所吸收的。
Meat, on the other hand, eating cow meat will give you cancer of the colon.
Cancer what?
Cancer of the colon.
Oh, I see. Okay. 然而吃肉的话呢，被科学家已经发现了，吃肉就会导致这个直肠癌，就是不叫直肠，叫这个大肠，就整个这个肠癌。
Now, also, you know, in order to drink milk and eat butter, you don't have to kill the animal and cause it harm.
此外还有一点就是喝牛奶和吃黄油的话是并不需要杀死奶牛然后就才能吃到喝牛奶和吃黄油的是可以养着奶牛然后吃喝牛奶和吃黄油的。
Yeah, so there's a big difference between drinking milk and eating butter and eating meat. They're not all the same.
因此喝牛奶吃黄油和吃肉吃牛肉是完全不一样的。 Okay, next one.
Yeah.
Oh, so all the questions finished last week.
Yay!
好，下个星期的回答完毕，我们来看今天大家问的。第一个是吴秀红奉献者问，顶拜部落莲花族，顶拜奉献者们还是可以撒派书，撒奉爱的种子，还是要选择有兴趣的人派发吗？ Okay, so here this devotee is asking that, you were talking about, distributing the bhakti seeds, the books like distributing the bhakti seeds. So that means that we have to distribute books to those people who are interested?
Yeah, that would be best. And it might even be good to prepare the soil by having, you know, very special classes and then giving the books to those people who have taken the classes.
Okay.
That'd be like making really good soil.
Giving special classes.
Yeah.
是的，是要选择有兴趣的人派发。当然，最好的做法就是，对于这些有兴趣的人来说，能够提前给他们开课，就是给他们讲课，一次很特别的课堂，然后给他们介绍这个灵性知识，介绍薄伽梵歌。那么以这样的方式的话呢，就相当于是准备好土壤的，然后你把土壤准备好了之后，你再把书派发给他们，那就会带来最好的效果。
Yeah, I mean, it's all marketing, really.
所以各位说，派书这一切都是关于市场营销。
Yeah, some marketing strategies are much more effective than others.
有些市场营销的方式的话呢，要比另外一些方式是更加有效的，对吧？
Yeah, so basically, we want people to read the books and benefit from the books.
所以从基本来说，我们是想要人们去阅读书籍，并且从书籍中获益。
So just like in marketing, you have to make it attractive, and you have to let people know, you know, advance what they're getting, and sometimes, you know, inspire them, you know, or incite their desire.
所以说这和这个市场营销是一样的，你在卖产品之前，你要先让你的产品看起来是诱人的，是有吸引力的，然后并且让这种潜在的客户的话可以提前知道，哦，我买这个东西的话我可以得到什么样的好处，然后并且在这个销售的过程中你还可以鼓舞他们，或者叫做给予他们灵感，就是甚至是激发起他们的那种购物欲。
Yeah, so we don't only have to, you know, kind of estimate how many books we're distributing, but how we're distributing them and if they're actually being read, you know, and appreciated or not.
Okay. 所以说我们不需要去估计自己能派出去多少本书，而我们要去估计的是，我们要去估计，要去思考的是，这本书是怎么样被派发出去的，以及这本书有没有真正的被买家给阅读了，然后以及是不是真的是使得对方感兴趣，然后对方真的读了然后受益了呢？
Yeah, we have to be able to estimate, you know, the effect that the books are actually having. Are people actually reading them? Do they actually understand them when they read them? Are they changing their life? We have no way of knowing.
因此的话我们就需要去预估这个书籍所带给他们的影响是什么，带给他们的这个效果是什么，他们是不是真的有读了书，他们是什么时候读书，他们读了书之后他们是不是真的读懂了这本书，然后以及这本书的知识是有没有，以及是如何改变了他们的生活的。
Yeah, really, it's just we're distributing seeds, and so those seeds will grow best if they're placed in, you know, soil that has been prepared for the seed.
因此我们是在播撒种子，而如果被播撒的地方这些土壤是被提前准备好了的，耕作好的，那么种子就能在这样的土壤当中成长的最好。
Okay,
next one.
Yeah.
好，我们来看下一个问题。点睛十这位奉献者说，顶拜咕噜的莲花族， 顶拜翻译和主持，我们不敢当。对于一个几乎没有奉献者但信佛人很多的地区，大家几乎都没有听说过 Krishna 知觉等相关词语和信息，这样的情况下等待对方提出来我们在传播 Krishna 知觉的可能性几乎是没有的。这种情况下我们也是先以拯救自己来掌握分寸嘛，也就是说这样的地区 Krishna 知觉的传播时机还不成熟。So here this devotee is offering her or his obeisances and asking that when it comes to an area that has no devotees but mainly about the Buddhism, so people there somehow sort of believe in Buddhism, nobody has ever heard anything about Krishna consciousness. So under such circumstances, we should wait for the other people to ask questions, and then we spread Krishna consciousness. But however, if they have never heard about it, how could they ever ask about it? So such possibility is basically zero. So under such circumstances, we should first save ourselves to become self-realized so that we can understand, we can do the boundary, the personal boundaries properly, which means that it's still not mature enough to spread Krishna consciousness in such area, right?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with your premise.
嗯，或者说我并不是完全同意你提到的这些前提条件。
First of all, even though China is mostly a Buddhist country and America is mostly a Christian country, it's full of people that are either non-believers or they're interested in all kinds of spirituality and they're open.
所以说首先提到的这第一点的话呢，中国主要是一个就是大家很了解佛教的一个地方，而美国的话呢主要是一个基督教背景的国家，然后但对于这些国家来说的话，都是所居住的充满的这些人民的话呢，要不然就是完全不相信的这些人，要不然就是他们会还是很心胸开阔的，还是对各种各样的这些灵性的东西啊还是比较感兴趣的。
Yeah, so, like I said before, spreading Krishna consciousness is just marketing.
就像我刚才提到的，这个传播 Krishna 知觉就像是做市场营销一样。
If you advertise and let people know that there's such thing as Krishna consciousness, and you do it in a socially acceptable way, people are going to find out. You're not forcing it upon them. You're just letting them know that it's here. And those who are actually interested will come forward.
所以说如果是作为这个市场营销的方式来传播 Krishna 知觉，那你相当于就是在打广告，对吧？打广告的话，你尽量把产品包装好，尽量的让尽可能多的人知晓你的这个产品，你的商品是什么，然后并且你是以一种被社会大众所接纳的方式来打广告，来传播这个商品。那么，那么你并不是要强迫着别人去接受 Krishna 知觉，而只是以被大家接受的方式来让大家知道，哦，你有这样一个东西可以给到大家。那么那些真正感兴趣的人，自然而然就会来到你的面前来询问他。
Yeah, so the methods of marketing are always changing to a time, place, and circumstance.
而市场营销的方式方法总是会根据时间、地点以及状况的不同而不同。
50 years ago, you placed an ad in a newspaper or a magazine, and people would find out about you.
那么在50年前的社会的话，打广告的方式就是报纸啊，或者是杂志上面去打广告咯。
Or 500 years ago, you'd go out and Harinam.
或者是500多年前的话，大家就是上街去做 Harinam， 然后就让大家都知道了。
But now, you just go on to the internet, and the internet companies, they know each user's habits and interests, so they target each person with advertisements according to the interest that they've already shown, and they do this through artificial intelligence.
而现在社会的话，我们都是通过因特网络来打广告的，对吧？那么公司的话，我们都知道，现今的这些商业公司，他们打广告的方式都是给每一个用户量身定制的。那么我们在网络上输入什么东西，我们去看什么东西，听什么东西，那么这些的话的信息就会数据就会被公司收集起来，然后他们就根据我们的这些习惯和喜好来专门针对每一个人打出不同的广告。
Yeah, so that's the current way, intelligent way to inform people about Krishna consciousness and attract them to inquiring.
然后因此的话，这就是当下这样一种方式，或者是一种很聪明的方式来使得大众了解到 Krishna 知觉，然后并且使得大众对 Krishna 知觉感兴趣。
Right, and then you can have classes, e-books, seminars, everything.
你可以在网上去开课呀，然后或者是传播这个电子书籍呀，然后或者是开讲座呀等方式。
Special classes to help them overcome their personal difficulties and how to apply Bhagavad Gita.
比如说专门开办这种如何运用灵性知识来克服个人的困境啊、困难啊，然后如何把薄伽梵歌的知识运用到个人生活上啊等等这些专题的课程。
Yeah, so most people today, they're not really religious, but they believe in science, so we can approach them scientifically, how, you know, the science of Krishna consciousness can improve your life.
因而目前大多数的人都是没有宗教追求，没有宗教倾向的，但是的话，大多数人都是信仰科学的，那么我们可以把 Krishna 知觉展示为是一门科学，然后来帮助大家了解如何运用这门科学来改进自己的生活。
Yeah, so you don't have to wait till you self-realize to become an expert at marketing Krishna consciousness.
所以说你不需要等到自己被拯救了，等到自己成了自我觉悟的灵魂，才能够去成为这个市场营销 Krishna 知觉领域方面的专家。
However, you know, if we're authentic with ourselves, if we benefited from Krishna consciousness, we'll naturally be inclined to share it with others because of our own experience. So that's the best way to share Krishna consciousness, really, one-to-one with people.
OK, 王总学友。但是的话，如果我们自己是很真实的，就是我们没有去假装，然后摆出什么样的样子，而如果我们很真实，并且我们也真正的是从 Krishna 知觉当中获益了，那么我们自然而然的通过自己的经历真实的体验来把 Krishna 知觉分享给其他人，并且是这种一对一的这种方式来分享，那么这会是最好的方式了。
And improvement in your life means you've become happy within.
而人生而生活的改进就意味着你的内在你是由内的感受到快乐幸福的。
And then people will then inquire, well, why are you so happy?
然后当别人看到你这么开心的时候就会好奇，哎，你怎么这么过得这么开心这么快乐呢？
What's your secret?
你的秘诀是什么？
Well, if they ask, then they're open to hearing about it.
而如果他们都会来主动来问你为什么过得这么开心，那就表明他们已经敞开了自己，愿意来从你这里去获得一些建议和这种指导。
Yeah, so you know we have to think of ways to stimulate their interest.
因此我们需要找到一些方式方法来刺激大家的这种兴趣，刺激大家的这种欲望。
Otherwise, if we force Krishna consciousness on someone, or we try and give it to someone who's not interested, then we're actually making the tenth offense, a ninth offense in chanting the holy name. And it's also against Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. 你需要一个 data。然而的话，如果我们只是把 Krishna 知觉强迫要别人接受，或者是把 Krishna 知觉给予那些都不感兴趣的人，那么实际上我们便犯下了念诵的十项冒犯当中的第九项冒犯，然后并且也是违背了 Krishna 在薄伽梵歌当中的教导的。
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 好，谢谢你的问题。Okay, wanna continue?
How many more?
One, two more.
Okay.
Okay. 我们来看下一个问题。Shruti Rupa Devidasi 问：顶拜老古鲁和老师们，周末愉快。请问，如果奉献者已经觉悟到了灵魂被困在物质躯体里的各种痛苦，内心强烈渴望回归灵性世界，他是否可以向 Krishna 祈祷，把自己的寿命送给父母健康长寿，而自己早点回归神手呢？还有就是，如果一个奉献者在 Krishna 知觉中一边注重知识学习，一边也注重身体锻炼，是否可以向 Krishna 祈祷，生命终结的时候身体是健健康康平平静静的，帮助灵魂回归的呢？感恩。 OK, so here Shruti Rupa Devidasi is offering her obeisances and asking two questions. The first one is, if the devotee already realizes that all sorts of pains that a jiva soul is going through by being trapped in a material body, and such devotee is strongly craving, longing to go back to the spiritual world, can such devotee actually pray to Krishna like this?I want to give my longevity. I want to give my longevity, the length of my life to my parents so that my parents can live a healthy and a long life. And then because I give my life, my longevity to them, then I can go back to Godhead earlier. That's the first question. And another one is that if a devotee, is focusing on learning the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, and on the other hand, also pays attention to doing exercise, doing bodily exercises. So can he or she pray to Krishna that near the end of his or her life, that he or she can peacefully and healthily ending the life?That will help the soul go back to Godhead.
Well, we have, it's nice that we want to go back to Godhead, but we have to qualify ourselves.
我们想要回归灵性世界是很好的，但是我们需要首先让自己具备回归灵性世界的资格。
Yeah, so we, like I said, we're fallen souls, so we have to rectify ourselves.
就像我说的，我们都是堕落的灵魂，因此我们需要首先纠正自己。
So Krishna in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he describes the qualifications for one to enter the eternal kingdom.
15th chapter, right?
Yeah.
Krishna 在薄伽梵歌当中的第十五章就描述到了，一个人在能够进入到永恒的灵性世界之前，他所需要具备的资格有哪些。
Yeah, so it's nice we can ask Krishna to take us back, but we also, how can we ask Krishna unless we're qualified?
当然我们向 Krishna 提出回归灵性世界的要求是很好的，但是我们又怎么能在自己还不具备资格的情况下来向 Krishna 提出这样的要求呢？
Yeah, is that fair?
这公平吗？
So here's the qualifications, chapter 15, verse 5.
我们来看着第十五章的第五十节就谈到了这一资格。
Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the duality of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom.
15.5那些脱离了虚假的名望、幻象和虚假联系的人，理解永恒的人，根绝物质欲念的人，远离苦乐等二元性的人，以及不受迷惑、懂得怎样臣服于至尊者的人，便能到达永恒的国度。
Yeah. So, we should be asking Krishna to help us become qualified.
因此我们应该请求 Krishna 来帮助我们，使得我们帮助我们去具备资格。
And that's when we'll go back to garden, when we're qualified.
然后当我们具备资格的时候，我们自然就会回归灵性世界。
Okay.
You want to answer the next one?
Are there more and more questions coming in?
Yeah, I saw there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Within 1 minute, no 7 questions.
Oh, must have hit a nerve there. Well, I've run out of time.
然后顾主说他时间不够了。
So, well, I'm so happy that there are many questions. It's always very encouraging, and all the questions are, you know, good questions and helpful for everyone.
顾主说他很感谢大家这么积极踊跃的提问题。他每次看到有问题的话呢，他就觉得倍感鼓舞。然后，并且他说大家问的问题都是很好的。都问出来的话都能够其实每一个聆听讲课的人都是会受益的。
So, we'll get to it next week.
所以我们就下个星期再来一一回答今天没回答完的问题了。
So, thank you so much, Narayani and Sumukhi, for making this all happen.
所以非常感谢 Sumukhi Mataji.
And I thank all the devotees for their presence and their enthusiastic participation.
也非常感谢在座的每一位奉献者的热情满满的参与。
All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于圣典博迦梵歌。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gunaraj. 拜昆塔之音，福源于聆听。今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。